Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to a February 22, 2009 segment from the Kentucky Water Fuel Museum. With us today is Carl Self, who is president of Hydro Fuel Technologies. And Carl, are you with us?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing just great. It's a glorious day.
Just fine. I understand that you've had a very busy weekend.
Very busy weekend, bringing out some technology and trying to educate some people on a very easily created energy.
Okay. So we're referring to the Louisville Auto Show, which is a yearly event held in Louisville, Kentucky. And this is the first time that anyone has shown up at this show, and in your case, unannounced, with water fuel technology.
Yes, sir.
To the public. So this show began on Friday, and it's running through today. So here we are having this interview just before you take off from your home to participate in the third day of the show.
Yes, sir.
Now, over the past 2 days, you've had hundreds of people gathered around your booth, and what is it that they've been able to see there?
Well, actually, it's remarkable. We brought out this weekend, for the first time announced in the U.S., probably worldwide, hydrogen on demand. And we chose this show to bring it out and educate the people on the various ways of the use of hydrogen with automobiles and industrial equipment and so forth. And it's just been overwhelming.
Okay, so you've been, especially during the past year, you've been experimenting with improved devices for producing the gas and then various ways of applying it to the various appliances that we use fossil fuel for.
Exactly. We started out with gasoline engines and wanted to progress on with the technology to diesel. And we fooled around with household appliances, and we've actually mastered a heating and air with the hydrogen, and found it to be a very, very, very useful for all home appliances and so forth that would normally use natural gas or LP.
Okay. Now, when you say hydrogen, most of the people who listen to this program generally think of hydrogen and oxygen together because that's what comes out of water and that's what many people have been using. But in this case, you're separating the hydrogen from the oxygen. Isn't that right?
That's right. That's something that we discovered a few months ago that we were able to do quite easily. And the advantages of that were just outstanding. The heat factor that comes along with the concerns of hydrogen and oxygen pretty much is eliminated at that point. We were able to separate the oxygen from the hydrogen, which gives you a really nice, clean, cold burn. Very efficient, too. It also brings the efficiency of the hydrogen twofold.
Interesting. So you're producing the gases together. You're not attempting to make a barrier in your chamber where you're producing the gases.
No. The gas is actually, right. The gas is created and then separated after the fact.
Okay. So using a special membrane or?
Well, actually, there's a pretty unique system that's involved with it that was actually like every good invention is stumbled on. And we played with it and said, oh, my gosh, the heat factor is cured. Where's the advantages of this? So we experimented with some diesel engines and found the emissions reduction was outstanding and the performance level rose and there was absolutely no gain in heat. As a matter of fact, there was a lowering of heat in the combustion chamber. So it was remarkable. And it's very easy to do. Very, very easy.
Very interesting. Now, in terms of like a big rig, for instance, that gets 4 miles to the gallon or something, what kind of gains have you seen by applying hydrogen only?
Well, actually, we've seen a gain anywhere from 10 to 100% to 150%. It just really is determined on the efficiency of the gas that we can deliver and actually what are the fuel that we can extract from the computers that's on the vehicles. We found that 2 liters to 3 liters just isn't enough gas. It just isn't. So we went a step further. Now we've got units that use absolutely no vehicle power. It has its own powering device, which we call a GenSen. And It will produce anywhere from, we've got several units, one that will do 0 to 6 liters on demand, one that will do 0 to 18 liters on demand for your small diesels, and then we've also got the big rigs, which will do up to 50 liters plus. So we found that the more hydrogen that you could actually supplement with the fuel, the better off you were. And we've got several big rig units out on the road right now that the emissions were lowered so much that they don't even blow black smoke.
What about this new California law where they're asking anyone who runs a rig to actually buy a new vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone attempted to bypass that new law with one of these add-on devices?
No, as of right now, the tricky point is, especially with California, is getting the hydrogen deemed as a emissions-reducing device, which we all know in the field that it is. We've also got other arsenal, you might say. We've got Intercharger, which is an EPA-approved product that lowers emissions and gains gas mileage by recirculating the, or should I say, closing the PCV system, which is a requirement now for all school buses and so forth, that generate great savings and lowering emissions. And with other states that allow us to install the hydrogen with it, the benefits are twofold. So we're really striving to clean up the air and try to get government approval for what we all know in this field to be a remarkable product to do so.
Yeah. Now, when you talk about the field, obviously you're a very skilled mechanic. You own a shop in Shelbyville, Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
and you've been a troubleshooter of problematic cars. Cars
no,
that
actually,
dealerships couldn't
little,
solve the problem with.
Right. A little background on me. I'm ASC, of course, ASC Master Certified. Ford, GM, Chrysler, Suzuki, Honda, Toyota, Subaru. I'm also a Viper specialist, and I taught at the Chrysler Training Center in Cincinnati for a few years. I mean, I've got a lot of experience in the field, 27 years to be exact. I've struggled with learning the new technologies as they come out and tried to perfect what I could and help with the field. I knew about 6 years ago and that the manufacturers, of course, they manufacture the vehicles and their goal is to sell vehicles and so forth. And one way of doing that is to slowly kill engines. And
yeah.
With my mechanical background and knowledge that I have, I know exactly how they do it, so I'm able to combat that a little bit. So that's why I got so excited with the hydrogen aspect, because of all the benefits that come along with it. And longevity of engines, emissions, not to mention it's a renewable fuel. Hydrogen is a renewable fuel. The byproduct, of course, is water, and we have a large supply of it, and that's why I got so interested with it. I wanted to try to help, and when the gas prices went to $4 a gallon, I just dedicated myself for the last 8 months total, 24/7. I work about 17 hours a day to trying to perfect the products.
Well, it's great when someone like yourself, with a great deal of technical expertise, is able to do that. Persons like myself, who've also dedicated themselves to uncovering this technology. But I can't bring to the table the skills that you have, the experience that you have in mechanics. And so it's really wonderful to see people with the skill level that you have getting on the bandwagon and really coming out with some noteworthy products based on your experience.
Well, I'll tell you, the problem we have in this field, and it's a problem that we're really, really trying to get a handle on, is the experience level needed in this in automobiles and equipment to be able to know the tuning process. With anything that you add, you got to be able to take away. So it's a pretty difficult feat. There's not a lot of success around only because of the difficulty to do so. So I've developed computers. I've got a few on the market now that are patented, that are very user friendly. I'm trying to make it so the technician will basically be able to use a scan tool and pretty much install a system and do very little tuning and actually get a huge improvement out of it. And we've accomplished that goal pretty decently right now. And we're going to make it easier and easier and easier so that a level C technician, which I categorize technicians, a level C technician could actually install a unit with some confidence that they're going to be able be successful.
Now, when you say level C, is that sort of an entry-level mechanic?
Actually, no. You've got entry-level would be on a scale from A, B, C, D, and E. Entry-level would be a D. E is the average Joe. C would be someone that could actually operate and understand what they're looking at on a scan tool, which is really not that difficult. And I do training, and I teach the art of tuning at a level to where a level C and a level B will grasp it quite easily and be able to get success with it. That's been my success story as far as this part of the country goes, and I'm trying to teach technicians to be able to approach it at that level.
Now, I understand that you've been doing some of that helpful consultation for Dutchman Enterprises.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And, of course, anyone familiar with the articles or the advertisements that have appeared in major newspapers and magazines in the United States would know that Dutchman is the first company to actually put a hydrogen booster system in the mass media and say, here it is.
Yes, and they need to be applauded for that.
That was a
really bold move, a really bold move. And the Dutchman product, we've improved a whole lot on it, but to be quite honest with you, it was a product that if it hadn't come out, I wouldn't be sitting here.
That's right. So, as you say, we need to applaud their efforts, even if there have been technical glitches because of it being a new device that's being applied across the board to all these different vehicles with their different systems. There were bound to be a bunch of, bugs that would reveal themselves or manifest themselves.
Well, most definitely. But you have to look at the way they structured the company and realistically, there are a lot of really intelligent technicians out there that if it weren't for the way they brought it out, wouldn't have approached it, and that company would not have gained the knowledge that it has now, that was actually gained from R&D from really good technicians around the country. The problem with the structure that I saw that was approached, and this is why I'm doing this so differently, is it was approached at a level B and A technician level, and the screening for the technicians was basically a lot of them were level D technicians. So the structure wasn't there to really bring it out the way that I believe, and this is me, that would excel it to where it really needs to be at this point. So basically, I've been trying to backstep and help out any way I can with a lot of different companies. There are a lot of really good products out there, but there's also a lot of really, really bad products out there. So we're trying to weed out and bring the good products up to a level to where it'll be successful. We want success on this from every company that approaches it because that's what's going to make this a household name.
Yeah, and that's really great. I'm glad to hear that you're more neutral in applauding the efforts of everyone who's doing anything that's worthy of commendation, and you're willing to help them.
Exactly.
As you said, those of us who rise above our own personal fortunes and greed for money to the point where we say, yes, there are a lot of people doing a lot of good things, and they all need to be moving forward, as you said, so that this technology can be something that everyone knows about and that everyone is using.
You know, the real problem with this technology is not whether or not it works. It's whether or not it's going to be allowed to work. You've got to understand that we have a lot of negative publicity out there that's generated for the purpose of stalling the efforts. And that's a fact. I can tell you this through experience, that if I had chosen to months ago, I would be a pretty wealthy man. Just by stopping what I'm doing. And I'll tell you, anybody who knows me personally knows that I can't be bought. I'm in it for the greater. I won't lie to you, it's been a struggle. My family's, we've suffered. My business has suffered because I have, sponsored all of this R&D pretty much on my own dime. And it's been a struggle. And right now we're at the verge of bringing out some new products that I believe that we will be rewarded on, and it'll be used for the greater of everybody. So we're hoping that we can keep doing what we're doing. But, you know, there's no government grants out there for this that we're aware of, and we've tried.
Including the new trillion-dollar, bailout for the economy and so on. I heard yesterday,
right.
I was driving through Indiana yesterday, and I heard two news commentators talking about some of the tax incentives for solar heating and wind generators. And, you know, there was no mention of any other technologies that might be promising. It seems like they've got this money earmarked for particular things.
Well, I'll tell you, we are really struggling trying to get the technology, the awards that really it needs. I mean, the technology is here, and it's a very useful technology. It's a very safe technology, and it's going to be accepted, I believe, in a short period of time as a everyday product, we're hoping. And
the only problem with it is that as long as rain falls from the sky for free, and that's the basic, feedstock of this technology, you're not going to have the world's most powerful people applauding it, embracing it. You know,
well, that's true. This is true. That's why we struggle like we're doing. And but we're doing some things now that's going to bring it out to the public a little more aware. Like the I mentioned to you prior, we're doing the memorial for the veterans, and that's a very important project. We've just about got our funding in line for that. We're paying for it.
Okay, let's talk about that. This is a perfect example of how a cash-strapped world needs this technology. Go ahead and tell our listeners what it is that's going on there.
Well, my partners and I and colleagues from around the United States that pretty much, like I said, we sponsor our own R&D, we heard of the project that the veterans did, the memorial that's in out west, and I believe it's Oklahoma. There's actually a few of them. That the cities had to turn the internal flames off because they couldn't afford the natural gas bill. Well, I'm a veteran. 6 years served in Panama. The veterans sponsored the memorial. They paid for the memorial. The only obligation that they were asking for is the gas to keep the flame lit. Well, they turned the gas off and would only light it on special occasions because they couldn't afford the gas bill. Keep the flame lit. Well, that hit home with me, and I know it hits home with a lot of veterans out there, and it should hit home with the whole United States that we can't allow that. That's just not acceptable. We have other means of doing it. So we made some phone calls and got in contact with the city government there, and actually got the approval to go out there. Put in a gen sen, which is what we call one of our systems with HHO on demand. It does about 50 liters a minute, which is indestructible, maintenance free, and got the permission to relight that flame with hydrogen gas.
Isn't that amazing?
Free of charge.
That's a very neat story.
Free of charge. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just marveling at what a neat story that is.
It's a remarkable story, and we've almost met our budget. We're absolutely doing it for free. If there's any listeners out there that would like to help sponsor that, just give us a ring. We're about 20,000 shy from being able to do it. We've got donations from windmill companies that are actually going to mount windmills on top of the buildings there. It's going to take three of them, and we're actually going to have the whole project that will be absolutely 100% free to the city. Matter of fact, they'll actually generate a little bit of back feed, so they actually make a little money off of it. So, it's remarkable, and I believe that project alone is so important. It's going to wake up so many people to the uniqueness of this technology that it's just going to excel, and we're hoping that we can do it.
This is part of the research that you found that you could create a flame for home heating and for heating water.
Definitely.
Using the hydrogen gas.
Right. We've got a heating system right now. If you remember back in the day when you were in school, you had heat registers. You familiar with those?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've actually developed a heat register system that's water, generated heat to water, and it goes through the registers. That goes through a combustion chamber of the hydrogen system, which is very efficient. And we found that we can heat a over 2,000 square foot area at a comfortable setting for about 30 cents a day.
And we're talking about in a climate similar to Kentucky, which is, we're in central Kentucky, I guess you'd say.
Yes, sir, we are.
So we have quite a bit of cold weather here from November through March. In fact, today it's,
right.
I think it's only about 20 degrees outside. Had a lot of snowfall. Well, not a lot of snow. We had some snowfall yesterday and freezing temperatures.
We've had a really rough winter as far as temperatures go, and a lot of people are suffering right now with heating bills. You know, the economy's tight. But if you could actually heat your home, heat your hot water tank, run your other appliances like your stoves and so forth off a ginseng that would produce a natural flame, that would cost you 40 cents a day for your entire home. And that's at today's rates as far as electricity goes. It takes very little electricity to run our ginseng.
Okay, now what exactly is the power requirement? You're saying that your ginseng puts out about 50 liters a minute of, are you saying 50 liters a minute of mixed gases or 50 liters a minute of just hydrogen?
No, 50 liters of hydrogen.
So it's actually producing, if it's 2:1 ratio, it's producing 75 liters of mixed gas.
Yes, sir.
And then you're separating the hydrogen, getting 50 liters of pure hydrogen.
Right, and actually, we can do much more than that.
That's amazing.
This sky's the limit. We've stumbled on the technology that's required to do that, and it's a very safe technology, a very, very reliable technology. We've got one ginseng that has run for 4 months straight. It hasn't been shut off.
Okay, and so it's producing 75 liters a minute.
Yes, sir.
And what's the power requirement to produce 75 liters a minute of mixed gas?
Well, to be quite honest with you, that's not my field. actually, we have electrical engineers that's in with our group that handles that aspect of it. They just tell me.
Is it plugged into a 110-volt standard house outlet?
Oh, yes. 110 standard. We've got the devices that we use have no moving parts. It just doesn't fail.
But obviously, under the hood, you're using this typical, whatever it is, 13.8 volts that come out of an alternator. So
actually, that's not true. Without going into full detail on it, we do not use the vehicle's power source at all.
Really?
Nothing.
Now, how do you achieve that if the unit requires electricity?
Well, without going into a lot of secret stuff on it.
Just do whatever you're comfortable. Say whatever you're comfortable.
Yeah, just basically, you can look at it. We a lot of technicians, a lot of developers have been looking at it as an avenue of 12 volts with amperage. And in reality, that's not the way to look at it. We need to look at voltage, DC voltage, without the AC interference from an alternating system that actually is a not a very efficient way of doing it. We've actually got a device that mounts to the vehicles, and it produces its own energy. It also produces a pulse width modulation, and it's trouble free. There's absolutely the electronics that are involved with it are 100-year electronics. So I mean, it doesn't have wear and tear. You may have a bearing that may fail in about 20 years. Other than that, it's pretty. Pretty amazing stuff. I've got a lot of help from some really talented individuals. I've got a nuclear electrician that's involved with my group. I've got very, very well-known metal fabricators that have opened up a lot of doors to the metals and the conditioning of metals and different materials that are used in the devices that are 100% reliable. I think I'm not saying we're at the end of our rope with the technology. We've just begun. But I tell you, I look at big corporations that have millions and millions of dollars that could take something like this and just run with it. And Lord, we'd have a product that would be just unbelievable.
But it's a David and Goliath type situation. And it takes a David
We're able to make these steps on milk money. So,
yeah.
You know,
what could be done if the major powers...
What if?
Yeah, exactly.
What if?
But I'm just in awe of what you've accomplished.
Well, I tell you, we got a goal, and that goal will be met. and with the help of, you know, people out there that are that really want to make this technology take off, I believe we're going to make our goals, and we're going to have a healthier environment and have an energy source that's never ending, and our grandchildren's grandchildren will still have a place and still have the ability to do what we need to do. Keep living.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about major changes in the structure of society as a result of a technology like this being brought into the mainstream. And so there are people who are concerned. Of course, there are greedy, selfish people that don't want to see any change like this happen. They'd rather that we continue on our this crazy course of burning up these fossil fuels and polluting the environment.
But, sure, it's all greed and money, Fran, but yeah. What people have to understand is just because we have this technology and change the way we're doing some things, there's still a need for crude oil, your plastics, there's just so many things. Fuel is actually a very small part of the oil thing, and when people wake up and realize that and actually figure out other ways of doing things, then I think they'll come around. But it's going to take a while, and it's going to take a lot of effort on everybody's part. We've been doing the crude oil thing for 100 years plus. It's kind of hard to change the ways of some people, and there's a lot of money being made out there. When we change it around, I believe that it's really gonna help a whole lot.
Yeah, well, those players have enough money already anyway. You know, they can't
true.
Even think of all the ways to spend it. They're just throwing it away. So we don't have to worry for them. They'll take care of themselves. But the people we need to worry about, and the one that you've shown a great deal of concern for, is the common working family and elderly folks who can't even turn their thermostat up to be comfortable in the wintertime, people who are financially strapped, and the fuel issue is definitely part of their suffering.
Well,
and
I'll tell you, something that on that note that you just said there, I'll give you a troubling note that I was aware of last week. In Louisville, Kentucky, we had a veteran that literally froze to death in his household because they turned his gas off.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
and
that
could
be repeated across
changed,
the country.
Well, I'm sure it has. And until people wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, everybody's important. We're all brothers and sisters on this planet, and until everybody realizes that is just not acceptable, we got just a long way to go.
Well, fortunately, we have people like Carl Self to take lead in showing how to, you know, hands-on. Let's build something better, and let's install it on our vehicles or install it in our homes, and you know, do the right thing.
Well, I tell you, that's what we're trying to do.
We have a couple minutes, just 1 minute left. Why don't we talk about what someone who goes to Louisville today can hope to see when they come to your booth there. By the way, where is your booth in relation to the rest of the show?
Actually, it's in the we were privileged to have a really good spot. It's in the North Wing. We've got a little layout there. We've got a 90% powered hydrogen vehicle. We've got some of the most polluting vehicles on the planet, which are the street rods. We've got three vehicles there with hydrogen on them. I'd love for everybody to come out and see it. They had to run racing fuel prior to the installations of hydrogen. Now they run 87-octane pump gas. The owners are ecstatic, and that's a new field that we're trying to get into. We're trying every way we can to break into every field that we can so that the technology will sooner or later become acceptable and be widespread. But we encourage anybody that can come out and see us. We're just good hometown people, but I'd love to talk hydrogen.
Now, the 90% vehicle, I understand it starts on gasoline. Is that it?
Yeah, it idles on gasoline. It's one of our little test projects, and I really it's a very small vehicle. It's street legal in all 50 states. It's the very first of its kind, and we've even got the smart people with the little smart car asking us questions and wanting us to put a Jensen on one of those. They do 43 miles to the gallon. Our little vehicle does 143 miles to the gallon. So they're quite impressed, and this vehicle is actually developed for the Bahamas and so forth, but we found that everybody wants one, so we're going to start producing them in the spring and try to get a little bit more money in here for what we're doing. And everything that we can do to try to make an extra dollar to try to keep our funding going, we're doing. And and the demand is just outstanding. I encourage everybody to come out and at least look. We've got some display stuff there. We've got we'll teach you how we do the splitting of the hydrogen. We can show you some of that stuff. We'll show you how we burn fire brick up and everything else. So it's pretty cool. I think everybody would enjoy seeing it. It's only from we only got a few hours today before it closes, but I hope everybody can come out and take a look at it.
Okay, and if someone did want to help support your efforts, for instance, by buying one of those vehicles, I'm sure a lot of our listeners would actually be in a position and want to buy one of those. I guess you're calling it something like a dune buggy, is that right?
Well, actually, it's called the hydro buggy.
The hydro buggy, okay.
It's the hydro buggy.
It's primarily designed to be sort of a beach or off-road type cart, right?
Most definitely, and we're actually going into production for golf carts. Everybody likes to go golfing around here, it seems like. So we said, well, wait a minute. How about we build a golf cart that's really street legal, and you can get in it, take your golf clubs with you, and then drive on the course, and then drive home. Everybody loves the idea.
What kind of cost would a person be looking at to acquire one of these once they come off
the line? Right now we're looking at, we've got three different versions we're starting to put together, but we're looking at, starting based on those is $7,500, and they can climb from there. It just depends on what the customer wants. It comes pretty much with MP3 players and everything else. It's kind of cool.
Now, can a person go ahead and place an order for one?
Well, sure. But we're not, we encourage anybody that wants to place an order to place one. But the production starts in June. Right now, we've been overwhelmed. I think that we got about 100 orders yesterday. That's kind of nice. But everybody's just wanting to do their part and try to help us fund our operation to make this hydrogen keep going. Look, in 8 months, we've turned the field upside down. With the right amount of help, we could actually turn it upside down and around and around and around and we're trying. We turned down a lot of offers with larger companies that were basically wanting to put the technology under the rug. We're looking for people that want to put the technology out there, make it work.
Well, it's so nice to hear that. There are plenty of people who would sell out. They'd sell their grandmother, you know, if there was enough money. And to hear you say that is just really encouraging, you know.
No. Yeah, like I said, anybody who knows me knows that I'm in it for the long haul. I've suffered a lot. My family suffered, but I tell you what, you know, Christ suffered on the cross for a long time. We feel that we can weather through this.
We can handle it, can't we?
We can do it.
Now, in conclusion, why don't we mention how people can get in touch with you? Of course, you have a website. I've listed that on the Blog Talk Radio page. That's
right. That's
hydrofueltechnologies.com.
Right, and we've also got greenagetechnologies.com. That's our intercharger part, and I encourage people to really look after that intercharger. It's an EPA-approved product right now that will help you with your gas mileage and put you back online where you need to be with the new regulations and so forth. It's a very unique product, and if it's available through us, then you can also read about it at www.intercharger.com. And I encourage everybody to at least look at that technology and embrace it, because this is the future, and we're trying every way we can to help everybody out. And our phone number is area code 502-647-3316 to our office, and we get hundreds of calls a day, but please leave a message. We encourage you to, and we'd love to hear from you, or stop by our location in Shelbyville. We'd love to talk to you.
Very good. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you at the show this afternoon and seeing some of these items that you have on display there.
Well, look, we appreciate it, and we appreciate what you're doing, and I know it's a struggle for you, too, to do what you need to do and to keep the word going out, and I believe one day everybody's going to be rewarded.
Well, I think that's happening now, just seeing these things coming into fruition, you know. Well, I'll let you go. I know you wanted to get up to the location there at the Kentucky State Fairgrounds, right?
We're heading up there right now.
Very good. We'll look forward to seeing you this afternoon.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.